The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After his baptism, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It's written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give this authority. I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The ancient Anglican spirituality is Benedictine. The monastic movement, St. Benedict is the founder of Western monasticism, had a huge focus on praying the Psalms. They read the entire Psalter every week. They prayed the Psalms over and over and over. That spirituality is our spirituality. That's why we do morning prayer and evening prayer. And it's, I think, the best way for people who say, "I don't know what to say when I'm praying," to pray. Because it's inspired by God, and it's also revelation from God, and it also teaches us who we are. Psalm 91 is one of the more significant psalms, and in fact, at the time of Jesus, they have found these ancient amulets and prayer bowls 2,000 years old. They have Psalm 91 verses written in them. And it's because of the way Psalm 91 functioned. You and I don't always read the Psalms the way they read the Psalms. And so it may be helpful just to pause, and I really try not to. I have like 4 hours of material on Psalm 91, so I'm going to fight the urge to get too technical here, but verse 1 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty." The word "dwell" in Hebrew literally means to sit. And so the first thing I'll tell you about prayer is not something you say to God. It's a way of being. Like, we teach our children prayers. But grown-ups are supposed to actually enter into relationship with God. And this idea of dwelling in God, abiding in God, being in God is quite different from the idea of saying your prayers, where you say them and then you're done. The shelter of the Most High, the Hebrew word for shelter, literally means secret place. And if you read the King James Version of the Bible, that's how it's translated, the secret place. Because a shelter is something that keeps you out of harm's way. And so I think the definition of prayer is to sit in God's secret place. I think that's a great description of what prayer is. And you and I can do that because under the shadow, under his shade, and that term in some of the Hebrew cross references, it talks of those who are under the shade of my roof. What it means is to be encompassed by God. So this protection of God, and we're going to get into the problem with some of the promises, the protection of God is not we request protection, he sends it. It's being in God is what protects us. So as parents, what do you tell your kids when they're scared? stick with me. Just stick with me. If you're with me, you're going to be all right. But you don't say to me or to mama, take care of me and then run off where we can't get you. And so it's not that you ask God for something and he sends it. It's you pray to God, to live in God, and then ask it. So that's fundamental for understanding how Psalm 91 operates. The other thing that's important is these verses about the arrow and the pestilence and all that. All of those words are also demons. They're the names of demons. And we live in a material world where we separate the material from the spiritual. So for us, it's like, save me from someone shooting me with an arrow or from me getting sick. And this was the most popular psalm during the COVID. You know, everybody's saying, pray Psalm 91 because it has this thing. And really, the deeper concern is not just the physical harm that can be done to us, but the ultimate spiritual harm that can be done to us. That's why this psalm was found in a 2,000-year collection with four exorcism psalms. They're not part of the Bible. Four exorcism prayers in Psalm 91. It functioned as an exorcism prayer to free us from the dangers of the spiritual realm. To make that a little more manifest, we'll look very briefly at verse 13. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder. You shall trample the young lion and serpent under your feet. Now, there's obvious reference to Genesis here, where he says to the woman, he will strike your offspring's heel, and you will take the heel and crush his head. Treading on, walking on, is in the ancient world a way of saying ruling over. It's primarily that. So if you're one of those literalists, you say, well, that means we can go to the zoo and walk into serpents and we can walk on the lions, and you get all excited about that. And what happens a lot of times, people get eaten by lions and killed by the serpents. And then they get mad at God. All right. And I would say that kind of approach to this is the same thing Satan tried to do to Jesus. He said, you can jump off mountains. He said the angels are going to protect you. What you need to understand is the word lion is used of Jesus. It's a good thing. It's used of the tribe of Judah. But it's also in 1 Peter 5:8. He says, your adversary, the devil, roams like a lion to devour you. Lions are also the enemy. In Psalm 22, which Jesus will pray from the cross, we'll hear it here on Good Friday. Psalm 22, twice in that psalm, Jesus prayed this psalm and looked down and said, I am surrounded by lions who would devour me. And that didn't mean that they had a bunch of lions out there. He saw his spiritual enemies, both in the flesh and the satanic and demonic. Don't you think Jesus saw demons on that? He spent his whole career ruining them. Don't you think they came to see him die? So the idea that we're going to trample on lions and serpents, and it may be interesting to know this as well. The word serpent in Greek is drakon. Change the K to a G, and what is it? Somebody say it. Dragon, very good. You get a special bonus into heaven. Dragon, which occurs 11 times in the New Testament, every one of them in Revelation. You will trample on the enemy, Jesus says to his disciples, because I've given you authority over them. And the authority that we have is sort of like, I'm dating myself here, but the cowboy movies. You had a sheriff in the town who did nothing he was supposed to do, right? Because the rich, powerful, evil guy called all the shots. He had authority, but he did not exercise his authority. So the Jesus figure had to come in. A guy like John Wayne. Right? Well, those stories, the reason those movies are so good is because they're true. We have authority and we have power, dunamis, to trample the enemy, and we tend to be afraid of them. Oh, don't talk about that stuff. It makes me nervous. It's our job. It's our job to trample the enemy. Psalm 91 ends With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The word salvation in Hebrew is Yeshua, which happens to be Jesus' actual name. His name is Yahweh Saves, Salvation. That's his name, Salvation. This psalm says that God will show those who dwell in him, Jesus. So what should you do this Lent? I don't know. How about dwell in God, trample the enemy, and look at Jesus? Those who believe are invited to stand and profess that faith.